After a September that's felt more like August, Kansas City is finally enjoying a slight dip in temperatures. Now, I don't care if you're a summer person or a snow lover, it's hard to argue with the utter perfection of 75 degrees. So today on KCUR Central Standard, we're enjoying the great outdoors, and since it's Friday, we're doing that with food and drink in hand. Our food critics will be here shortly, helping us find the best outdoor dining spots in town. But first, a seasonal cocktail and a squirrel cook-off. I'm not quite ready for the squirrel course, so let's start with the drink. I'm Gina Kaufman, here with cocktail blogger and Instagrammer Emily Ferris, known on the interwebs as Festive AF. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Gina. It's so good to be back here.
It's good to see you. What are your feelings about fall just as a season?
Oh, I love fall. I am not a summer person at all, as anybody who's friends with me on the internet knows. I loathe the summer, so when fall comes, I'm just thrilled.
What makes a great fall cocktail?
A couple of things. In general, I feel like whiskey is the spirit of the fall, so I like the whiskey base. It's kind of warming, and I don't know, rum feels like a tiki summer drink, and vodka feels summery and just like something you drink when you're on a diet.
So, like, whiskey is the warm blanket of intoxication.
Exactly. I'm going to steal that from my blog.
Okay.
Okay. and I really like adding some sort of spicy note to a cocktail. Whether it's through a spicy bitters or some other addition of spice, which I have on this particular cocktail we're talking about today.
Why do you think spice is – there's a kind of spice that we do associate with fall, and I wonder why that is.
Are you talking about pumpkin spice?
Well, the family of spices that have been, I would say, appropriated by pumpkin spice. Yeah,
thank you. Yes, they're warming spices. So cinnamon and ginger and clove are warming spices. And so that's why we associate them with cold weather, because they technically are supposed to warm your system or warm your blood.
So you're going to teach us how to make the early fall lowball with chai tea and whiskey. How did you come up with that?
So a couple of years ago, I was doing a cocktail column for a men's lifestyle website, and it was a glorious time because it was the end of summer, but it already felt like fall, which was great for me because it was probably in the 70s in August. And so I mixed up – I needed to come up with something – it was a pop culture column, and sometimes I just switched to weather. So I wanted to come up with something that felt appropriate and tasted like fall but was cool for summer. So I thought along the lines of a hot toddy or something spiced, and I decided to make a chai tea base and chill it – and then mix it with whiskey and bitters and a little Grand Marnier.
This sounds so good.
It is really good, and I brought some. Do you want to try it?
Okay, but is there any trick to making it other than just mixing up those ingredients?
No, it's there's measurements, which you can find on my blog, which is that's festiveaf.com, and it's 2 ounces of whiskey and 2 ounces of double strength chilled chai tea, a 1/2 ounce of Grand Marnier, which is an orange liqueur, and then 3 shots of Peychaud's bitters.
And it really does just look like iced tea.
I'm going to pass some over to you.
Okay. But I have one other question first.
Yes.
Do you make your own chai tea for this, or do you like
do I make my own blend of chai? No. I use the Bigelow chai tea for this.
Okay.
But I made it in a huge batch recently, so I had to use like 16 tea bags. So it's a lot of work.
Well, I'm going to take a really small sip.
Yeah, I'll take a big one while you take a small one.
That is very smooth.
Yeah.
And you know what? You don't taste – the balance of the taste of whiskey and chai is pretty even. Mm-hmm. Like neither taste really overpowers.
Right. And it's not too – it's a little spicy from the chai and the Peychaud's bitters. And you get a little sweetness from the Grand Marnier, the orange liqueur. This is actually a batch I made because I'm going to the lake this weekend, and it's kind of a perfect drinking around the campfire cocktail. And usually I shake it over ice in a cocktail shaker and pour it into a lowball glass. But this sat in the refrigerator overnight, and I think the flavor is just blended really well together and everything. It's like breakfast because it has tea in it, and everything just works really well together.
If you are going to enjoy this at the lake this weekend, I mean, is there anything else that you would recommend as far as setting the scene and creating the right ambiance for this drink? even say if the weather climbs up back up to 80 and mosquitoes bite?
Oh, no, don't say that. I'm going to have a campfire anyway because the smoke will keep the mosquitoes at bay. I just think of this as it's not a food cocktail. I wouldn't pair this with food because it is so flavorful and spicy. So I wouldn't recommend any food to go with it. I would say a fire or a deck. Sit on a deck and enjoy it. Sit outside. Sit on a porch swing. If it's not too warm for a sweater, this is definitely sweater weather cocktail.
Emily Ferris, blogging at Festive AF. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now that I've got my drink, I'm ready to talk squirrel. Our next guest, James Worley, is a conservationist and hunter who just teamed up with a local chef to win a squirrel cook-off. And not just any squirrel cook-off, the World Championship Squirrel Cook-off. Hi, James.
Good morning.
Can I just say something about squirrels?
Absolutely.
They are total maniacs right now. I walk out the door practically covering my head because they're like snipers throwing acorns.
Yeah, they are probably our most abundant wild game species in this country, for sure, here in Kansas City.
That is a more polite way of putting
it. Yes, they are thick. and ultimately renewable and organic and non-GMO, free range, and they come in their own 100% biodegradable container.
And they make funny little faces.
Squirrel faces, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but tell me about the squirrel cook-off. How did you get into it?
Actually saw this on CBS Sunday Morning a couple of years ago, and Joe Wilson is the man in charge of the World Squirrel Championship cook-off in Bentonville, Arkansas, and as soon as I saw it, I'm like, I need to win this thing. So I teamed up with Chef Brett Atkinson of Wilma's Real Good Food, and we went last year, cooked some squirrel paella, and took 19th place. We were not very happy with that.
Well, okay, but before you move on, tell me about squirrel paella, because paella tells me Mediterranean, and squirrel, I don't know, is squirrel Mediterranean?
Squirrel is ultimately American. There's some squirrel in Europe as well, but definitely an American dish. But squirrel meat's very universal. It's very similar to dark meat turkey. Everybody says it tastes like chicken, but no, it doesn't. Very similar to turkey thigh meat. So anything you use turkey thigh meat or chicken thigh meat in, or beef in, you can do with squirrel. It's very, very universal, very flexible game meat.
All right, so 19th place last year. You weren't happy, though. 19th in the world seems...
Yeah, out of 35 teams, 19th was in the middle of the pack, but I don't like being 19th place. Neither does Brett, so we vowed to come back and win it, and this year we did.
What did you make this year?
We made a squirrel pickle.
What?
Brett made some homemade dill pickles, and we cored them out with a drill bit, so they're hollow. Some homemade pimento cheese, some squirrel meat that I cooked in Budweiser beer and some water in a pressure cooker, deboned it. We piped that into the pickle, dipped the whole thing in tempura batter, deep fried it, served it on a bed of arugula on a hot dog bun, topped it with some crispy onions and some homemade Dijon mustard.
Deep fryers in beer sound a little more compatible with squirrel than paella to me.
They both worked well. We just had some judges that didn't understand what paella was supposed to be. Paella is supposed to have crunchy rice, and some of the judges dinged us for having crunchy rice. So we were a little frustrated with that. But
all right, but the pickle worked.
Yeah, pickle worked very well. We also did an 8-cheese squirrel chorizo mac and cheese as a side dish. And as a bonus, we did a chocolate-covered squirrel beignet.
Okay.
Yes, chocolate-covered squirrel.
I want to start with the squirrel chorizo. Uh-huh. Tell me how squirrel meat works in chorizo, and what spices you use.
Just use traditional chorizo spices. We chopped the squirrel up very, very fine, almost as if it was ground. But I pressure cooked it first, and we took and deboned it and chopped it up fine. Then we crisped it up in a pan with a little bit of lard, and then just put a spoonful of that on, mixed it with the chorizo spices, of course. Mixed it, put it on top of the 8-cheese mac and cheese.
I mean, is there a way to go wrong with chorizo and 8 cheeses?
No, I mean, it's just a win-win combination.
All right, but it does seem like chocolate-covered squirrel is a little risky.
That's out of the box. We actually did that dish last year and got really good reviews, so we brought it back. Brett did a Dr. Pepper reduction sauce and some molasses and mixed the squirrel meat in with that and stuffed the beignet and deep-fried it, put a little chocolate sauce and confectioner's sugar on it, and it was a savory, sweet... wonderful piece of squirrel.
I am not 100% sure that the typical American eater has warmed up to the idea of squirrel for dinner, for pickles, for dessert.
They should. Squirrel is a great wild game meat. The season in Missouri starts at the end of May and goes all the way to February. Very liberal bag limits, and there's a lot of squirrels out there. It's ultimately renewable and a great resource to use for cooking.
What does squirrel taste like? I mean, you said that it was universal, but I don't know. When people say something tastes like chicken and like chicken is some kind of universal meat, I don't know if I buy that.
No, chicken doesn't taste like anything. Chicken tastes like the sauces you put on it or spices you put with it. Squirrel, older squirrels can have a little bit of a musky taste to them if they're not cleaned properly. So you've got to do take some care in that. Older squirrels can be a little tough as well, so pressure cooking helps with that. But squirrel meat is ultimately usable just as chicken or turkey meat or anything else.
But you've got to hunt it yourself, right? I mean, you're not going to go get squirrel at the store.
There are no squirrel farms, but there are plenty of them out there.
Sorry, the image in my head.
Squirrel wrangling, you know, little cowboys wrestling up their herds of squirrel. No.
Sorry, I've been out herding squirrels.
Exactly, on the range. But there's, Missouri's got a lot of forests and fields and edge cover, and wherever there's a nut tree, there's a squirrel. Find a hickory nut tree or a walnut tree or an oak tree this time of year, and have a rimfire rifle or a light gauge shotgun and a hunting permit, and you're in the makings for a good squirrel dinner.
What are your tips for hunting squirrel and making squirrel dishes that people will enjoy? I mean, it can't be the case that squirrel, like, you just do anything with it and it works.
Well, yeah, squirrel takes a little preparation, similar to, I don't know, lamb takes a little preparation. Just can't take a lamb and make a great dish out of it, so it takes a little bit of work.
Is that because of possible, like, toughness?
Yeah, a little bit of toughness sometimes. Squirrels are a little small. A typical gray squirrel will have about 3/4 to a cup of deboned meat, so there's not a lot to work with. But you're allowed 10 squirrels per day. So 10 cups of meat is a pretty good-sized chunk of meat. But as far as squirrel hunting, there's several ways to do it. One is just to sit and wait. Sit by a tree that has some squirrel nut cuttings at the bottom, the little mess that they make, and just wait, and the squirrels will show up. Or you can use your eyes and your ears and walk slowly through the woods and look for tree branches to move or listen for squirrels to make noises and sneak up on them and get your squirrel that way.
So there are like two personalities of squirrel hunter.
Absolutely. The sitting still or the spot and stalk. And it's a lot of fun. It teaches you how to read the woods, teaches you how to identify trees and listen and be patient wait for a quick, clean kill so the squirrel doesn't suffer, of course. So it teaches you a lot of things. I learned squirrel hunting when I was 8 years old, and it's been a part of my life all the way through and has made me a better woodsman.
So, I mean, would you say in the parlance of our times that this is local and seasonal and therefore ought to be on every hoity-toity menu out there?
Absolutely. Everybody talks about locally sourced, free range, organic, non-GMO, and squirrel is the ultimate epitome of that. They are ultimately renewable, abundant, have a low carbon footprint, I guess you would call it, and very accessible.
As someone who works at the Department of Conservation, this is not a statement that I take lightly.
I mean it for sure. It's if you want to be introduced to hunting, squirrel hunting is a great way to do it. And actually, the Department of Conservation has a couple of opportunities. There's one at Parma Woods Shooting Range coming up next weekend. We'll teach you how to squirrel hunt and take you on a squirrel hunt. And then there is a family squirrel hunt coming up at Baroque Woods Nature Center in Blue Springs, Missouri, the first 2 weeks of February. We'll train you how to squirrel hunt, teach you how to shoot, safety aspects, take you on a hunt, and then we'll teach you how to clean them and cook them as well.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. James Worley with us from the Missouri Department of Conservation. Congratulations on winning the World Championship Squirrel Cook-Off.
Thank you very much.
Up next, we're ready for your top spots for outdoor dining. You do not have to be eating squirrel. Call us with the restaurant patio deck or sidewalk seating that rules your world. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. Stay tuned. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are here to help us find the best outdoor dining spots in town and around town. Call 816-235-2888 to join the conversation. We want to know about the outdoor patios, decks, sidewalk seating, drive-ins, and parks. Like, if you have a park agenda, the place you get your carry out, you take it to the park, like your whole plan, we want to copy it. 816-235-2888. Today's food critics are Charles Ferruza, of course. Hi, Charles.
Hello.
Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine. Good to see you.
Good morning.
And we've also invited a member of our Young Listeners group, Jen Listen Casey, to weigh in on restaurants and bars with really cool outdoor spaces. Genevieve Desmarteau, whose name you might recognize because she is also a weekend announcer. Hi, Genevieve.
Hello.
So, you guys, in my mind, there are different kinds of outdoor dining for different moods. There's the quiet patio tucked out back somewhere. Could work for a romantic evening or like lunch with a friend you haven't seen in a long time. And looking at the list of places you're recommending, Genevieve, kick us off by talking about Le Fou Frog.
Well, I just went there last weekend, and it was the first time I actually sat on their patio. I've eaten inside before, which is very different because inside is very dark and the outside is light and airy. And what I really liked about it is that it's secluded from the street. It's kind of, you know, closed in, and they have some fans, so it kind of keeps the breeze moving. And there's, like, a lot of tablecloths that are it's not very uniform decoration. I just like that it's kind of eclectic, and it's got a really warm feeling, but it wasn't too warm to sit outside, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So those are a few things that I really enjoyed about it, and, yeah, it was romantic, as you were saying.
What about Charles Café des Amis?
That's such a beautiful patio. I worry that it's very soon going to be too cold to eat out there, but it's very pretty. They have the sparkling lights, and the food's very good, and it is also tucked away.
It's in Parkville, right?
Right. And, you know, the restaurant is on top of a hill, so it's secluded anyway, the restaurant. And then the patio is even more secluded. So you could actually have a fight there.
Interesting that that's where your
Well, it's one of the reasons I don't like to eat outside, because I have had public arguments and barely survived them.
And those happen more in outdoor dining spots?
No, but they're a lot more embarrassing outdoors. More public, oddly enough.
It's like an arena or something?
Very much, yes.
So, okay, I hadn't anticipated that commentary, but at Café des Amis, what do you like to order? What's good there?
Oh, gosh, it's been so long since I've eaten there. But, you know, it's French cuisine. I mean, Genevieve will back me up. There is no more romantic cuisine.
Oh, no, absolutely not. I had the escargot last week at Le Fou Frog, and that was delightful, of course, and buttery. Can't go wrong with butter.
Lots of it, yeah.
The Le Fou Frog patio, if I remember right, there's, like, actually also a frog fountain.
Yes, there is. It sat right next to it, actually.
Is there a frog in it?
Yeah. It was
A live frog?
No. I don't think so, anyway.
Statuary.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, so we have private, secluded, not private, but, you know, quiet, secluded little outdoor patios that are tucked away somewhere. There's also the boisterous deck with a lively scene. Jenny, talk to me about McCoy's.
So McCoy's, basically, they had kind of a forgettable deck before. I mean, it kind of looked like something that your grandma or grandpa may have built kind of on the back of their house. But they recently have redone it, and it's fabulous now.
What makes it different, Jenny?
It's really modern. I can't explain it. The bar kind of has a wall that kind of comes up over and provides a little cover and shade, and it just feels a little bit more permanent, certainly more stylish. And if you want a people-watching corner, there is not a better one than that corner right there in the heart of Westport where McCoy's is. And that it's comforting brewery food. One of the things I love on their menu is they have a lot of vegan and vegetarian options. As well as they obviously make their own beer and they have a cocktail list. So I tend to kind of stick to pub favorites, you know, fish and chips and that kind of stuff. But on that patio with all the activity that happens on that corner, it's really fun.
Is their menu still basically like a textbook? You know what I mean? Like it's a lengthy...
Yes, it is. Many, many pages long. But they've updated it over the years. And like I said, I think, you know, it's the same restaurant group that owns Charbar and Beer Kitchen, and they've brought a lot of vegan and vegetarian dishes to their menu. And so they've done the same at McCoy's.
And you're also recommending Brewery Imperial, which I think qualifies as a lively scene.
Yeah, you know, they have kind of a yard that basically is surrounded by old train cars, you know, like boxcars kind of. And so they have an outdoor area with a lot of picnic tables. It's just kind of gravel with very casual. And then they have a little bit of more formal seating that's just covered outside. And then, of course, a small inside. But they do a great, like, just a cheeseburger, great place to just... roasted chicken that they serve with tortillas. You can kind of make a little Tex-Mex thing going on there. Lots of beer. cocktail list, wine, I mean, kind of whatever you want to drink. But their beer is really what you should go for. But it's lively. It's a fun, and on into the wee hours of the, you know, at night as well. There's people sitting outside, so.
Genevieve, what about Harry's Country Club?
Well, I like that you can see the streets. You can see people walking by, but it's still, like, enclosed, so they're not.
Where is it?
Down in the River Market. But I also like the old country music that they have playing there. I'm not typically a country music lover, but it adds to the atmosphere, I feel like. And
it's kind of a theme bar in a way.
It is, yeah. And they also, I mean, they have great drinks. Something I remember ordering there was a Missouri Mule instead of a Moscow Mule, and I believe it had whiskey in it instead of vodka.
So I love those.
Yeah, very
was
delicious.
Was it served in the copper cup?
I don't believe it was. You know, it's been a couple of years since I've had it, but I don't think it had the copper cup. And I order that in happy hour, so it's a nice deal.
They have an incredible selection of booze. Not everybody knows that they have really high-end, lovely, nice whiskeys and scotches and bourbons.
Very lengthy.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still a pretty casual atmosphere.
Oh, it definitely is very casual. And what I like about their patio, they kind of have it where it's you can sit out there in the winter because they have it kind of half of it closed off. And so you can stay warm even if you want to be outside, you know, during the wintertime or have the ceiling fans going when it is warm out.
We're about to turn to our callers at 816-235-2888. But before we do, just in general, like, is everyone here a fan of outdoor dining?
You know I'm not. I detest it, actually. It's funny because I really enjoy eating outdoors at maybe a festival or a fair or something like that. I don't even mind walking with food, which is usually a no-no for me. But I'm not crazy about eating outside. Too many.
Why is walking with food a no-no?
I can't smoke with food. I mean, I can't walk and smoke at the same time. So I just have, you know, issues with that. But
you don't like to multitask.
I can't. I'm just inept. But including, you know, putting food in my mouth and walking at the same time. But that being said, I do love, you know, and there are two, you know, there's a bunch of great festivals coming up. And as long as I don't have to eat a corn dog outside, I'm fine.
I'll take your corn dogs.
Okay.
Anyone love them. Want to speak up for the plus side of eating outdoors?
I just like how it feels more relaxed. And sometimes I don't know what it is about the outside, but I feel like I have a better, conversation with my waiter or like connection with them. I don't know. They just seem to be a little bit more loose in a good way.
I think you're right, Genevieve, because when I was a waiter and I only worked at one restaurant that actually had an outdoor patio, they were like smokers. They tipped better.
I enjoy eating outside, but I just wish it wouldn't turn into the smoke hole. Like, I don't want to fight that battle when I'm outside.
A lot of patios still won't let you smoke.
Well, cheers for them. Give me the list. Seriously. I mean, that's the only thing, especially if you've got your kids with you. You're like, I mean, I get it if it's a busy patio and, you know, all of that, but I would prefer no smoking.
All right. Well, let's turn to our listeners. We've got Mark with us from Lawrence. Hi, Mark.
Hi there.
What do you want to recommend for outdoor dining?
Well, like I said, I'm from Lawrence. I'm born and bred here. I've been listening to your show for years, since even when you were under Walt and everything. So cheers to that.
Thanks.
Your panelist mentioned corn dogs, which is funny because the restaurant that I was going to recommend does a corn dog in a specific style. But that's not why I called. The restaurant is called Terrebonne Po' Boys. It's a Cajun restaurant in Lawrence, and it's just off of the main drag of downtown Massachusetts Street, one block west. It's in a storefront that's about 12 feet wide, and you kind of have to know about it to even think to go in there.
So it's kind of like a hidden...
A club.
It's almost like that. There's a trick to opening the back door to the patio that you have to know. It's an old clickety lock or clickety latch, and you have to push it from the inside and pull it from the outside if you want to go in. But
this doesn't seem like a great policy if you want lots of customers.
Well, they won best restaurant for sandwiches and best lunch spot 2 years in a row in the Beth of Lawrence voting competition in the local paper. And they do, since we're talking about fall, They do at least one or two soups on special every day, and they always have gumbo that is just amazing.
So tell me about Sorry, I don't mean to like cut you off, but tell me about the patio. This patio that you have to know how to work the door to enter.
Well, you can walk right up to the patio from the outside. It's on street level, and it's not got a deck or a gate or anything. It's actually not the most glamorous of patios. There's a little driveway that comes up off of Vermont Street, and there's a little alley between two buildings. The third wall is formed basically by an Airstream trailer, and there's a building on the north, and the restaurant is on the south, with glass windows on the street side and the patio side. It's basically just, you know, an old concrete patio with, there's only 16 or so seats inside the restaurant. But there's probably double that or more on the patio, so most customers end up eating on the patio.
So this is Bon Bon in Lawrence, is that right?
Terrebonne.
Terrebonne.
It's named after a parish in Louisiana, Terrebonne.
I haven't heard Terrebonne. I've heard Bon Bon. Okay, interesting.
Well, Mark, this is a fascinating recommendation on many levels, and we're all excited to try it. It sounds like a nice kind of...
I'll never be able to work the lock. That just is a given.
But just sit outside and scream until they come.
There is a certain charm to a kind of like hidden spot. A place where you feel like you've just sort of stumbled in there, that it wasn't really... I don't know. There's the one side, which is like the upscale outdoor dining where people have made it really nice for you. And then there's the kind of outdoor dining where it's just like, I'm camping out here.
Or like a picnic table and benches, yeah.
Exactly. Let's talk to Cher in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Cher.
Hi.
What do you want to tell us about?
I'd like to talk about Californos in Westport. They have a small outdoor area, but it opens right off of the main dining room where there's a fireplace. So in weather like this, they'll strike up the fireplace, but you still have the option of sitting outside, and it's kind of the best of both worlds. And it is a beautiful view. It's in the horseshoe there at the opening of Californos. So you see the
in Westport.
Yes, in Westport. You see the eclectic shops around the horseshoe and eclectic people. And it's just, it's really comfortable to me. Californos is kind of like my Cheers. I have that feeling about it anyway. So
people call you Norm when you show up?
No.
Norma.
They know me, though. They call me Cher.
Well, thank you so much for that call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And Californos, that patio is sort of terraced in a way. Yeah. Like there are different levels of it. So it creates this sense, I don't know, there's, I think, a theory about people liking to be on the top of a hill due to some like human animal instinct to be able to survey, and like it puts people at ease to be able to see their
surroundings. It's like going to Mount Olympus, honey. You've arrived.
But I mean, the design of a deck, it seems like it's probably important as far as how comfortable it feels and how much you enjoy being there.
Now, I think the best decks on that point are secluded in some fashion, that no one really can see you. You could see maybe other people, which is why I'm not crazy about the patio. In the front patio at Classic Cup on the plaza, you know, many people walk by.
Yeah, there are see and be seen, you know, seating, outdoor seating in Kansas City for sure. And then there's kind of the more, but I think the decks are bigger, the ones that are kind of more private in the back or on the side.
Yeah, I agree.
But what you're talking about with Classic Cup really is pretty much sidewalk seating.
Yep.
And that seems, it's like a very popular thing in big European cities,
right,
and becoming more popular here, it seems like, to me.
And you know, it's extremely popular in New York City or in Chicago. But, you know, there's the downside to being seen, see and being seen, is that invariably someone you don't like or don't want to see passes by almost, you know, religiously. Yes.
Well, and it adds extra seats to a restaurant. Yeah. You know, if you've got a tiny footprint and you need all your seats, a nice little side outdoor patio can, you know, add double your seating if you want. So
true.
But yet, if you like sidewalk seating, like Charles doesn't like it, but I like sidewalk seating. I think it's really fun. It makes me feel like I'm out and about amongst people doing things, even if I don't have something that I particularly need or want to be doing. I can just sit there and be part of that energy. So let's talk to Al in Kansas City, who wants to tell us about some sidewalk seating in Brookside. Hi, Al.
Hi, guys. So you were mentioning European style. I think Bell and Appley, it's right kind of near the corner of 63rd and Brookside Boulevard. If you guys, nobody knows about it. Of course, I'm sure everyone does. But they have a great outside seating area that is very European style, and it's not a huge amount of walk by traffic, but it creates a nice kind of ambiance and sense of being in the neighborhood and quietly eating great food. So, you know, and it's informal. So
yeah, tell us about the food at Bell and Appley.
Well, Jake Imperiali, who started Bell and Appley, he developed recipes from his mother's kitchen, and the food has a certain kind of cultivated quality to it, but it also has a very home-style Italian cooking as well. The menu is kind of diverse that way. And one thing I love about Bell and Appley for my own palate and body is that all the ingredients are high quality. There's no cheating on quality. So I like that. I like one night is pizza night, and the pizzas are like $6 or something. And they have a half-priced bottle night, which I think is Wednesday night. So there's.
So you know, you're kind of a regular, it sounds like.
Yeah, I am.
You know what night of the week coffee.
Well, I love their coffee. They have a special espresso blend that it's just theirs from Broadway, and that's why I got hooked on that. I got hooked actually on the atmosphere. I'm originally a New Yorker, and Bell and Appley is the closest thing I have found to a New York style mood and atmosphere of a neighborhood. New York Bistro. I love it. I love the place. So
well, thanks, Al.
I want to share that.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Al called us at 816-235-2888. Genevieve, Bell and Appley's on your list, too.
It is on my list, and I think it's because of the sidewalk seating. It's kind of like a no-fuss patio, which is very simple. And I like going there in the morning. I love their pizza as well. The mushroom pizza, I think, is what it is that I like there. But I like the morning time because it just has a real community feeling, and I like being seen. That's a place I like to just people watch or watch other people see people they know. You know, I really like that atmosphere.
You're also recommending another sidewalk seating kind of setup at La Bodega.
Oh, yeah. It's that place. Something about it. I almost don't feel like I'm on the sidewalk the way that they have like some greenery or plants and whatnot kind of surrounding you.
So that's on Southwest Boulevard.
Mm-hmm. And when I eat on the sidewalk there, I kind of feel like I'm not in Kansas City, which is something I like. I like to be transported while I'm there. And the sangria is a nice addition to that feeling as well.
There are things about the setting that to hear about them, you would think like that doesn't sound good, but it is. Like that you're kind of right by like an overpass.
Yeah.
Or underpass.
The 35 highway is right there. Yeah. And it's not noisy though. I don't.
But it's noisy in a good way.
Yes. Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
The kind of noise you want. Yeah. If there's nobody else out on the patio with you, at least you kind of feel like you're surrounded by people.
Absolutely.
More distantly.
Tell us about sort of like the mood and the food and all of that.
The mood, I feel like it's
convivial.
Yeah, that's a great word. I would not have come up with that one. It's just energetic and I don't know, just light and what else? Maybe the thesaurus over here can help me out a little bit more.
It's always been in all of its incarnations, a real gathering place for a really diverse selection of people.
I almost can't imagine a fight going down on this patio.
There have been.
Well, so that's a recommendation for La Bodega. Jenny, you know, we have someone on Twitter recommending Char Bar, which is a barbecue joint in Westport. You also have a barbecue place on your list.
Right. So Q39 has opened up their south location right there off of 435 in Antioch. And they're kind of up on the hill across the street from one of the entrances to Corporate Woods. And so they have this kind of interesting catbird seat. And they've surrounded the restaurant very wisely with this beautifully, a beautifully landscaped patio that has a fireplace. And it feels like you're in someone's gorgeous backyard. Mm. And it still feels bustly. You can hear kind of a little bit of the highway noise in the distance.
Jenny.
Well, it was Hayward's Barbecue for years and years and years. But the rehab that he's done on that space has been remarkable, if anybody remembers, obviously Hayward's and had been in there. But yeah, always great barbecue there. They have a full bar, a nice big bar, actually, in the new space. And I was recently in there and I thought, this is really, really pretty. You know, you feel
and
like you're outside.
And that carries out to the outdoor space?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When we get back, we will visit a beer garden because that's becoming a major thing here in town. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and there's still a little time left to call in with your favorite outdoor spots for eating and drinking, especially in the fall. 816-235-2888. Meet you in the beer garden. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and our food critics have been talking about outdoor dining, but now let's focus a little on outdoor drinking. Our producer, Andrea Tudhope, takes us to a beer garden in Waldo.
A beer garden is pretty much what it sounds like. It's a patio where you drink beer, but a beer garden is a little different. Forgive my pronunciation. It's German.
That entire place is all about Germany, yeah. Even they import meat from Germany.
Jürgen Hager is the co-founder of Kansas City Beer Company in Waldo. Mm-hmm. That's beer with an I-E. If you're not careful, you might end up at the other beer garden in Waldo, the Beer Station, 1 mile north. But here, there's a distinct atmosphere. One Jürgen brought straight from Munich, Bavaria in southern Germany. That's where he grew up and where he got an early start with beer. Drinking beer, I mean.
So the Bavarians drink mostly lager beer, which is a cold fermented beer.
Cold fermentation hasn't always been an easy process. Back in the late 1700s, before refrigeration, German brewers had to get creative. They built cellars underground and packed them with ice to ferment the beer. Above ground, they planted chestnut trees for shade.
And then the Bavarian king Maximilian I, he signed a decree that the breweries are allowed to serve beer above their cellars and not only in taverns. And then they came up to the idea, okay, let's put some benches and tables under the chestnut trees and just make it a social place where people can meet.
That's how the beer garden came to be. The concept has transformed over the last 200 some years. Obviously, refrigeration came along, so underground cellars were no longer needed for cold fermentation. But the concept of the beer garden only became more popular and bigger. One of Jürgen's favorites in Munich holds 8,000 people. There's a carousel, and at the center, a corral of goats. When Jürgen retired from corporate finance, he and his friend Steve Hawley decided to open their own beer garden, right here in the Midwest. Jürgen wanted it to be as authentic as possible.
We bought our benches from Munich and imported them to the U.S. because we couldn't find the traditional Munich-style beer garden benches.
A gravel patio complete with trees, one maple and two of the chestnut variety, and perhaps most importantly,
we serve traditional German-styled beer which we brew.
The brewery is right inside. There's a pleasant, nutty aroma that hangs over the patio. Jürgen takes me inside to see where the smell is coming from.
Mike? This is Mike.
Mike McGuigan is milling around like a mad scientist in a laboratory, turning cranks, releasing steam, and climbing ladders to poke his head inside large metal tanks.
We're sparging right now, so we're spraying water on top of the grain.
He opens one of the lids.
You have a smell.
The aroma is in the steam, rising from the hot water spraying over the malt, rinsing out its natural sugars.
So we use German ingredients, so all of the malt and the hops and the yeast. Originally the yeast came from a monastic brewery in Bavaria.
They've got 6 or 7 varieties of hops from the Seitz family farm in the Hallertau hop region in Bavaria. The malt comes from Germany too. He opens a brown bag of Munich malt he'll use to brew the Dunkel, one of their most popular brews.
And we mill our own grain. This is the mill just next to us. I'm going to take a little taste. If you crunch, just break the seed. So after a couple of seconds, the enzymes in your mouth and the enzymes on the grain will stop it tasting just like flour, and it'll start to taste like malted milk or that sort of thing.
They follow the German purity law from 1516, which only allows for four ingredients in the beer: malt, water, hops, and yeast. Apparently, the brewer doesn't have to be German, though, thankfully for Mike.
So, you're not German.
No, I'm British.
Aside from brewing and serving only German beer, Jürgen says a beer garden has to be a communal space. I told him about the first time I ever came to his beer garden. My group took over a table where two guys were playing chess. There was definitely some side eye. I finally asked if it was okay to be there, and they relaxed. But I could feel the resistance. I asked Jürgen if it's been a challenge converting a society that's trending antisocial.
Oh yeah, and we experienced this when we opened the beer garden and the beer hall, our tap room.
He says all it took was a simple explanation.
Here in the Midwest, the people are, in my eyes, extremely friendly.
Each table holds up to 10 people, and it's meant to be family and dog friendly. People come after work, grandparents come to visit their grandchildren, parents mingle while their kids play in the grass.
When we opened 3.5 years ago, I had a real nice comment from a neighbor here. She just lives 7 houses away from the beer garden, and she said, Jürgen, you know what, with these community tables, I'm living here since 17 years, I never met so many people.
In the spirit of sharing a table with a stranger, we each grab a beer and a seat.
Let's cheers.
Okay. Prost. Prost. Enjoy the beer.
That was KCUR's Andrea Tudhope trying the beer. Thanks, Andrea. So, guys, beer gardens, outdoor spaces, German stuff. Jenny, I can't help but turn to you now because you are recommending a place that has all of those qualities as well.
Right. So, but Grünauer is what I'm recommending, and it's in the Crossroads, is Austrian. It's a common mistake. A lot of people consider it German, but it's similar, very similar. But
German-ish.
German-ish. I'm sure they'd roll over if they knew we were talking about them that way. But their outdoor patio is one of those that I always forget about until I'm on it. And then I realize how pretty it is. And it's got this really unique urban view of the trains passing, Union Station, and now the streetcar as it kind of comes over the bridge. And they have that ball that spins, the black and white ball that's kind of an art installation in the middle of the parking lot that I just love. But sitting on their patio, they have a really great Austrian wine list, craft cocktails. And, you know, I always just end up getting a bunch of shared apps with friends. So fried mushrooms or shared sausage plate, which they make in-house, is always kind of just a go-to. And everybody just snacks and drinks and sits outside. And it's really, really pretty. And it's one of the few outdoor patios of that kind of stretch of restaurants there. Most of them have enclosed their patio, like Lydia's recently enclosed theirs. So it's one of the few outdoor places in kind of that little strip there. Yeah.
So that's Grünauer and the Crossroads. Let's talk to Randy in Lone Jack, who has a recommendation for us. Hi, Randy.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. What do you want to tell us about?
I want to tell you about Jess and Jim's Steakhouse in Martin City. They just got a new patio. They opened a new patio at the end of last year, and it is fantastic. And it's also a great place to honor the life of Hugh Hefner, because they have the Playboy strip there.
Some people, yeah. And
what a
tell
nice
us,
culinary homage.
Tell us more, though, about the, I guess, the vibe at Jess and Jim's on their patio.
You know, it's really different from inside the restaurant. I think it's a younger crowd that sits on the patio. And they really devoted a lot of attention to making it look very Kansas City-esque. And it's also located right next to the train tracks. So the one thing that, you know, if you're a train lover, you love it. If you're not a train lover, there's an interruption about every hour and a half. And they have entertainment on the weekends on the patio. So it's tough sometimes for the entertainment to to overcome the train whistle. But it's just a great atmosphere, and it's one of the few places that Charles has not started a fight.
On the patio, yeah, you're right about
dining
that, actually,
outside. Yeah, because it's brand new.
Thanks.
It's fantastic.
And I'm going to assume you are a train lover.
I do like trains. I do like trains, and you know, you can hear the train a lot better sitting on a patio than you can inside Jess and Jim's. But it's always just a great experience with the steaks and the twice baked potatoes. Just a fantastic place.
Well, thanks a lot, Randy.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have, I mean, I know that's kind of random, but like we have a few neighborhoods in Kansas City where trains are like part of the atmosphere if you're going to be outdoors. Anyone have a...
Parkville.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can't shake a stick in this town and not sit by a train at some point if you're going to be outside. I mean, the bugs, the smokers, and the trains. You got to deal with all of it.
And speaking of road trip outdoor dining, Genevieve, you have Pirtle Winery on your list.
Yes, up in Weston, about, 45 minutes north of here. And I just kind of stumbled upon their little outdoor dining space by accident, was very hungry and was getting ready to leave because I couldn't just keep having samples of wine. But they have a little bread and cheese assortment that you can buy with a bottle of wine. I tried their mead, which was very sweet and delicious. But it's enclosed and just a lot of, you can't see the sidewalk. It's just, there's like an arbor and very green, and it's also romantic. I'm real into the romantic places. That's good
Weston
for you.
Weston's very picturesque, though. Yes. And you can kind of like stumble down any green hill there and find a picnic table.
Totally.
So.
Let's talk with Joel in Olathe. Hi, Joel.
Hello.
Hi, what do you want to recommend?
Well, yesterday afternoon, I took my family down to Boulevard Brewing Company and took their smokestack tour. And they have an entirely new building that is devoted to just their tours and to public relations. And it has a wonderful beer hall that has an amazing deck on the north end of it that's on the second floor. And they have like 40 to 45 varieties of their beers, ones you can't get anywhere else. And they have them in 5-ounce or 14-ounce sizes, so you can try flights or create your own. It's just a wonderful, and it was packed at 5 o'clock yesterday afternoon.
And so that's not just a private event space. That's if you go on a tour, you'll just go and hang out there and
have a beer.
Well,
you end up in a room and have a tasting at the end of the smokestack tour, the one you pay for. At the end of that, you have a tasting and a pairing with foods from different wonderful places around the area. And then you can go into the beer hall and you can continue to sample, or they have food. Some very nice appetizer style and sandwich style dates.
So tell me about that deck that you mentioned.
It's it's the full length of the building, so on the north end. So it's probably a space that holds 50, 60 people, I'd say. And they can stand there too, of course. But it's very, very open and just a very pleasant atmosphere.
Well, thanks, Joel. You know, before we go, we are almost out of time. That sounds like a lovely spot at the Boulevard Brewing Company. But, Charles, you have recommended a drive-in.
My favorite drive-in. The fabulous Mugs Up Root Beer Drive-In.
To be sort of indoors, but sort of outdoors.
Well, there's, I think, 2 picnic tables. And, you know, if you don't want to eat in your car, because they have car hops, you could eat at a picnic table.
Well, we didn't even get to the festivals and the parks, and those will all be on the list that you can get at kcur.org later today, because we know that's how a lot of people like to do their outdoor dining. But our time is up. Charles Ferruzza, Jenny Vergara, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Genevieve Desmarteaux, representing Jen Listen KC, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can listen back and get that official list from this show at kcur.org/Central Standard later today. And while you're there, you can catch any of the shows you missed from the week. I would recommend our conversation with the young actors in the Coterie's We Shall Not Be Moved, and yesterday's discussion about the movie Battle of the Sexes, including thoughts from a female football player with the KC Storm. KCUR.org/Central Standard is where you can get all of that. This show is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Andrea Tudhope, and Suzanne Hogan, with lots of help from intern Tom Taylor. Linda Scher runs the board for us every day, and our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend, everyone.